Today's episode is brought to you by Positively Productive Systems, whose mission is to be the antidote to your stress and to provide compassionate productivity resources and coaching that help you heal and achieve. Be sure to check out both free and paid resources at positivelyproductive.com/resources.
Just remember one of those moments where you were absolutely scattered. So imagine that moment, and whether that was yesterday for you or a month ago or a week ago, but think about, did you get anything done on that day? Most of the people that I've spoken to who've been in that state did not do anything that we would define as being productive. They were busy. They moved. It wasn't like they spent all day in bed. But at the end of the day, they thought, but what did I actually accomplish today that was worthwhile? But do I remember what I actually did today? No, can't think of a thing. And most of people would say to me, I don't believe I did anything, but I'm so tired because I have been busy. So it is really stepping back, taking a breath, and to really stop and pause, which is one of the most difficult things that I find entrepreneurs have challenges with.
You're listening to the Positively Living Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Zarotny, founder of Positively Productive Systems, and a coach certified in time and stress management, helping clients make space for what matters most in their lives. Join me each episode and we'll talk about decluttering, stress management, habits, personalized productivity, gratitude, and so much more. I understand the overwhelm of life because I'm a wife, mom to kids and cats, and a former caregiver. I'm here to help you choose what's right for you so you can do less, live more, and breathe easier. Sound good? Let's get to it. Although the phrase work smarter, not harder is easy to remember and sounds appealing, it still seems as though work hard is the one that secretly wins out, don't you think? Hard work is praised, and we are made to question things that don't require it. Complex is valued over simple. Effort over efficiency, at least when it comes to our own perceived value, since we don't want to be considered lazy, right? At this point in my life, I'm good with lazy. David Allen of Getting Things Done fully admits he created a system because he was lazy. I've shared memes on my Instagram that organized people are just too lazy to look for things. We're made to believe we must fill up the spaces of our lives, from our cabinets to our calendars, and I want to encourage you to start thinking differently. When I say, make space for what matters, don't forget it means you, too. It means things that the perpetually busy dare not consider, like rest and recovery and time to learn and time to dream and simply be. I know we have a lot on our plates, and I firmly believe we can find space for doing and dreaming, and my guest does too. Today, I welcome Lubna Zarrue to the Positively Living Podcast. We talk about what it means to be more productive by working smarter, and what we can learn from the science of happiness to embrace the positively productive mantra, do less, live more, breathe easier. Lubna Zarrue is an international best-selling author, certified professional speaker, and multi-award-winning strategic dynamo who is globally recognized for her extraordinary skill of being able to mentor entrepreneurs to gain clarity, focus, and momentum with lightning speed. She is also the creator and co-host of the Entrepreneurs Sushi Club podcast. Before starting her business and becoming the CEO of The Exponential Hero, Lubna spent over 18 years managing projects both in IT as well as change management in the corporate sector. It was during these years that Lubna was able to hone and utilize her expertise in helping people enhance their happiness at work, as well as strategies for more success in the boardroom. In today's episode, Lubna helps us understand our minds and how to make them work for us instead of against us, including how to handle distractions, the biggest productivity buster. We talk about rest and sleep as non-negotiable productivity tools, and she shares her perspective on happiness, which she's been studying for years, and the hard science behind it. In addition to a ton of tips from her, I also share a bit about the Pomodoro technique, which I use as a basis for co-working sessions in the Positively Living membership community. If you're interested in continuing the conversation from today's episode and exploring ways to start taking action on these ideas, I welcome you to join me there. Go to positivelyproductive.com/PLMC to join. As a compliment to today's episode, I highly recommend listening to episode 1 on the number one tool for productivity and episode 41 on intentional happiness. Now let's join Lubna and talk about working smarter, not harder. Welcome, Lubna Zaru, to the Positively Living podcast. I was delighted to connect with you on your podcast, the Entrepreneurs Sushi Club podcast, and we discovered we have so many productivity theories in common, and I was especially struck by how we both believed in simplicity over complexity. And I cannot wait to dig into all of this with you today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa, for having me on the podcast. I'm going to have fun with this one, I'm sure.
Would you start by telling us a bit about who you are, who you help, and really what makes you light up?
Ooh, you know, I can answer that question in so many different ways, and I find it one of the most difficult questions to answer at every interview again, but I'll keep it short and sweet and to the point of what I'm doing right now or what I spend the most time doing, which is empowering purpose-driven entrepreneurs to transform frustration, overwhelm and confusion into success, fulfillment, and optimum well-being. So it's all about working smarter and not harder, and working, seeing work as just one aspect of life instead of the most dominating aspect, and sacrificing the rest, your relationships, your health, and everything else. And I believe you can have it all.
I love that you can believe that. Now that lights me up. And yes, I love the working smarter, not harder. And we've heard this before, but I'm not convinced that we really believe it. And that's why I'm excited to talk with you about that today. You know, that we can have it all, but maybe it's about being selective about what the all is that we want, you know, and figuring things out. And one of the places that we really got into in your podcast that I loved was how much you also approach the self-awareness part, understanding where we come from, how we tick, and what matters to us. And when we understand that, then the strategies come, right?
Yeah, most definitely. Because you can say, I want it all. But if you say that to me, my follow-up question will be, what is all for you? Because it might be completely different for you than it is for me. I mean, I wouldn't answer that question by, I want a Lamborghini, a mansion, and some type of very expensive bag. I could care less about all of those things. It's not what matters to me the most. But I'm also mindful of the fact that for someone else, that's their all. And oh, go for it if that is what lights you up and you would love to do that. I mean, I've had friends who said, oh my God, I don't want to drive a Porsche. And I'm like, I can't imagine ever wanting to do something like that. But for them, that was the, oh, if I can have and own a Porsche and want to drive that, that would light me up. That's what I aspire to have someday. And if that is what gets you going, oh my God, go for it. I mean, really. So the very first part of self-awareness is, if you want to have it all, define all. And whatever it is for you, don't let anybody else tell you that that should not be your definition of all.
Yes, unapologetically, right?
Claim it, whether it's that mansion, the private jet, the Porsche, or a little flat.
Whatever it is. And it, you know, it's funny because I think as entrepreneurs, there's this conversation about, well, you know, or especially I think in the circles that I'm chatting with women where I'm not in it for the money. Why not? Why not? It's about your purpose. It's about what matters to you. When I say make space for what matters, right? It's what matters to you.
Yeah. And let's be honest, if what matters to you is to have that purpose, is to create that positive impact in the world, mm-hmm. then what that encompasses, if when you say that, I mean, let me on, I work with purpose-driven entrepreneurs, so I have these conversations. If that is what you want to identify with, I'm a purpose-driven entrepreneur, I'm all about impacting the world in a big way, then you also believe that money is a means to an end.
Exactly.
And that means as a purpose-driven entrepreneur, you are about the money because it's your means of creating a bigger impact as a purpose-driven entrepreneur. So you can't tell me you're not in it for the money. You are. You're a purpose-driven entrepreneur. You're in it for the money because that is the means, one of the means, that will help you create that massive impact in the world.
That's right. And I think this falls into that category of the stories we tell ourselves or the stories that are constantly perpetuated, right? And my favorite thing to say is, you are this incredible, heart-centered, purpose-driven entrepreneur. You're amazing. These are women that I coach as well. And I said, so all money will ever do is amplify who you are and what you bring to the world.
Exactly.
It's another tool in your toolbox. So don't be afraid of that or anything else that you are trying to achieve. Because what you were describing about what this all is that you want, that's your motivator. That's what drives you.
Yeah, and I think that there's something about what's behind the I'm not about the money. For a lot of the people that I've spoken to, it is, I don't want to be seen as a money-grabbing person.
Exactly.
I don't want to be seen as a money-driven person, which has a negative connotation for most people. As soon as you start, I want to make seven figures, you've got at least a couple of people that are looking at you, you're all about the money, aren't you? Because that's the narrative in the collective that runs wild and that is preventing us as purpose-driven entrepreneurs from really stepping into to saying, but that's the means I need so that I can realize the purpose that I have right now in my life and my business. And I think that we're all afraid of being judged. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to be seen as that money-driven person. And I'm a proud entrepreneur, purpose-driven entrepreneur who says, I'm going to need that money so that, not for me, because I don't need a lot to, I don't have a luscious lifestyle. I do like a good bag. I do like a good pair of shoes, but I'm not going to buy an expensive car. I'm not going to buy a big mansion. I'd fill that mansion with all the books in the world, to be fair. It would be a massive library in my case. Which is ridiculous. But that's me. It doesn't matter to me, all of those things. If it matters to you, go for it. So I don't need it for my lifestyle. I know that I'm happy with the things that I do have. But everything above that is giving me the opportunity to support all of those people out there that can't, won't, don't believe in empowering them to step up. Imagine what I could do with it. I mean, oh, my brain will go with all of the ideas.
Exactly. I immediately go to philanthropic opportunities. You know what I mean? It's like, again, thinking about the things that we strive for as being tools in our toolbox for whatever it is we want and going back to that all part. So speaking of the narratives, the stories we tell ourselves, and kind of going into that zone of simplicity over complexity and working smarter, not harder, which is what we're talking about today. Where else do you see the stories coming up or your entrepreneurs getting tripped up? And I think that the working hard, like that's more valuable somehow is a thing. What else? What are you seeing?
Well, the same thing is along those lines is if it's not complex, it's not worthwhile at all. So as soon as you start, let's simplify this. I mean, the amount of times that I've heard speakers on stages before COVID and now on Zooms, webinars or live streams explain something, they're making it so complex. And I'm like, my brain goes into, but you're actually saying A, B and C. So why didn't you just say that? Because you're making it so difficult. And let's be honest, a confused mind is not going to learn anything. Is not going to pick up on anything. So again, if you want to make an impact, the simpler you can make it, the best. I was in one of the Facebook groups that I'm connected with, and they're a digital marketer, actually gave people the advice, do not complicate your sales copy or the copy on your website or your blogs or whatever. No one is here to hear you speak jargon. No one. Make sure that is third, fourth, or fifth grade copy. And then you've got it nailed. for the majority of the people that you're trying to reach. Make it as simple as possible that a six-year-old could understand what you're writing or saying.
I love saying, explain it to me like I'm a five-year-old. And you know what you said was, the confused mind is not going to learn anything. And then translate that to the entrepreneur world, a confused mind is not going to buy anything.
No, they're not, because they're literally still trying to make sense of what you've shared with them. Right. And they're so preoccupied with it. They're going to walk away still thinking, I still don't have a clue what that person said to me, let alone if that program, course, mastermind is for me the solution to what I need right now. So they're going to forget about you. I mean, Maya Angelou said it best. People will absolutely forget what you said or did, but they will never forget how you made them feel. So if what you're creating into the world is making people confused, you've already been forgotten. I'm sorry to say.
Ooh, all right. I'm just taking a moment to mic drop there. So true. It's so true. And right there, it's the confused mind. And you know what else? In life, don't we have enough going on?
Oh, God. I mean, let's be honest. And especially during a global pandemic. I mean, I don't know about you, but stress levels are high. People are really like, oh my God, I'm panicking. So they're already in a state that is not ideal for making any type of offer, even if it's just support without exchange of money. Because people are inundated. They can't take anything more. They're already in that state. So what people are looking for now is someone to rescue them, with quotation marks. Someone who will say, there is hope. I can guide you through this period of time. You can do something. There are still opportunities for you to do the work that you are meant to be doing. And if only people are like, you know, you need my course or you need my program and I will save you and make you seven figures. People are like, I just want to be able to buy my bread tomorrow.
Yeah. I want to be able to go out and see my friends and things like that. And so there's that support that they need. And, you know, I think this idea of simplifying. So not only is everyone confused, they're stressed, and all of those things, all of those, like, I guess, that state of being, if you will, it doesn't allow you. And this is for us or the people we're trying to help, mind you. It doesn't allow you to focus, to be creative, to troubleshoot, to show up your best.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not in a confused state right now as we're talking on this conversation, but just remember one of those moments where you were absolutely scattered, you're confused, you woke up but thinking, okay, where do I start? I have no idea. So imagine that moment, and whether that was yesterday for you or a month ago or a week ago really doesn't matter, but think about, did you get anything done on that day? Did you get anything done? Most of the people that I've spoken to who've been in that state did not do anything that we would define as being productive. They were busy.
Yep.
They moved. It wasn't like they spent all day in bed, but they moved. But at the end of the day, they thought, but what did I actually accomplish today that was worthwhile and moved the needle in my business or created any type of difference in the world or impact? And it could be the smallest thing, but they all felt, I've done all of these things. Mm-hmm. I've used up my energy, but do I remember what I actually did today? No, can't think of a thing. And most of people would say to me, can't think of a thing that I actually achieved today. I don't believe I did anything, but I'm so tired because I have been busy. In that mind, in that state, you won't be able to focus. You won't be able to even get your brain to support you in focusing and getting anything meaningful done. So it is really stepping back, taking a breath or two or three or four or five, however you may need to quiet that monkey brain of ours.
Yeah.
And to really stop and pause, which is one of the most difficult thing that I find entrepreneurs have challenges with.
Yeah, I think anyone who desires being productive, I even see it in my teenagers, like, I have to get it done. It's like, but are you really getting it done? Or are you like spinning your wheels? Are you like on the computer when you're trying to download something and that circle is going around on your screen and you're like, no, that's how we feel, right?
Yeah.
And that is the sign that you do need to pause. You do need to take a deep breath. And give yourself a chance to figure out what the right next thing is to do. I often say that overwhelm isn't just about having too much to do, but also about not knowing what to do next.
Yes. And considering we live in a world of distraction,
don't
put yourself into the mind of, I have to fight all of those distractions. You're putting yourself against a losing battle. You're going to lose. I'm sorry to tell you this. You are going to lose. I can guarantee. They're just too many. So don't try to fight them off. You'll only set yourself up for failure if you do so. It's better to say, okay, how can I ride the waves that are called distractions? How can I use distractions to my advantage? How can I plan for distractions in my day? Because all your brain wants is to know that it's going to happen. So if you plan in your calendar, very, very simple tip is plan in your calendar a 15-minute distraction slot. What you're telling your brain is you got to play in distraction land for those 15 minutes. Even if those 15 minutes are in the evening, so later in the day, your brain is calm because it knows, okay, distraction time is then and not now. You will help your brain to, okay, now we need to focus because then we can get distracted. It's not a guarantee. It's not the only strategy that will help you against distractions, but it will help you as long as you commit to practicing it long enough for your brain to get, oh, this is the new program that we're running from now on.
I love that. It's a purposeful, intentional, built-in distraction time. So what you have here is delayed gratification. Right?
Correct.
Right. So you're saying, hey, it's okay. You're going to be distracted. You can watch all the cat videos you could possibly want, but not right now. Then
not now.
Stay here. Stay with me. This is similar to the Pomodoro technique.
Yes.
Which I lead in co-working sessions in my membership. And this idea is, in this particular case, it's 25 minutes of focused work and then you get 5 minutes. And you know, I specifically say to those I've guided, no, literally like scroll your phone now for this 5 minutes. Do not think of work. Do not look at work. Do not touch work. You know, find every, you know, meme you possibly can or go wander. You know, you have to have those delineations. You have to have true breaks. I find that this, we talk about mindfulness and being in the moment. And I think we struggle with that because when you're trying to do work, you're thinking of other things. And when you're doing other things, you're like, oh, I should be working, right?
Yeah, but it's our brain. Our brain is a mind-wandering supercomputer. And it is more powerful than the conscious brain that we all know. And because it's that part is smaller and works way slower than your unconscious brain, which is the actual pilot of the plane or the bus driver or the race car driver or whatever rocks your boat. This moment in time, that's the part of the brain that is in charge. You can't fight that part of the brain. It's faster than you can ever imagine. So instead of trying to fight it, just like you're trying to fight distraction, learn how it works and ride the waves. Use it to your advantage because then you will be able to work effortlessly. It won't feel like work because you're thinking, oh my God, I can't have this much fun. Other people call this work. I call this fun.
I love that. I love the fun. Yeah, okay. So not fighting it off, building it in. You've already given us a fantastic tip about, you know, find specific time where you're like, that's distraction mode time. Let's do this thing. That's when you're going to do it. So hang in there with me. What else can we do? What else is going on in there that we can leverage or harness to make it work for us instead of against us?
Yeah, well, we can have internal obstacles. So your mind works against you. And I've given you a couple of tips around that. So know how your brain works. We don't get taught these types of things in school or in the educational system, but there are great resources out there. So that's one. Number two is if you've ever had a personal trainer or you've been to a gym in any way, shape or form, they will advise you, get your workout on Monday, then use Tuesday as a rest day, so that on Wednesday, you can do your other workout. So the importance of rest, mini rest periods, larger portions of rest, and eventually the big part of rest, which is called sleep. So we all think that, and that's one of the things that is stopping us from working smarter and we're working harder, is because we think, as long as I keep going, I will get it all done at the end of the day. So it's pumping more hours and more effort mm-hmm. while we're not built to do go all day long, every day long. We're not built to that. So the Pomodoro technique that you mentioned, Lisa, before, is a great technique that conditions you into, okay, do 25 minutes of effort, so focused effort, 5 minutes of rest. And after three cycles, they say to you, you need to have 15 to 20 minutes of rest. So right. they make that a bigger break. And all of those rests are not, I'm going to do something that still activates my brain. You do nothing. So you go out into nature, which is a great way to reset your body and your brain. You grab yourself a cup of tea, water. It could even be coffee if you would like to. But you're doing something else. So if you give your brain the time to process what you just did so that it can alleviate the pressure and get you prepared for the next effort piece. Most of the entrepreneurs that I speak to, whenever they said, oh, I'm so busy, okay, I want you to do 15 minutes of absolutely nothing. It is the most difficult thing for them to do. But as long as you don't, you're not going to get the most out of your work. And I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, I took on a project and I was still in my job. My manager said, can you organize this management conference for 100 people? So 100 managers. Manager, senior management, the CEO of the organization that I was working on. And I had taken it over from a colleague who had done it the year before because she was so tired every time that she was organizing that event. I took over and I organized it and she came by a day before. Now, my rule when I organize events is the day before, the 20 hours before an event, I am not working on the event. Everything should be prepared in a way that the 24 hours before that event, I don't have to think about the event. I don't have to do anything for the event. Now, I've set myself up for that, and I've done events for the past many, many, many years mm-hmm. because I want to be in that rest state so that the things I didn't think of that are still important pop up in my brain, because now my brain has got the resting time to think about, okay, you've been hustling and grinding, focusing on what you need done. Let's take a step back, ruminate, wonder. So she saw me with my legs on the desk and said, why are you so comfortable? I'm like, why not? She said, but you're organizing the management conference. I said, yes. Why aren't you rushing around everywhere? And I'm like, why would, in heaven's name, would I do such a thing? She was like, yeah, but I used to really stress until the very first last minute. And then during the management conference, I would still stress. And I laughed. And she was like, are you laughing at me? I said, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing about what you just said. You're surprised that I'm not stressing because you used to stress. For me, it's a decision. I've decided a long time ago, 24 hours before an event, I don't do a thing because I want my brain to think about the things that I didn't think about that might make or break the event the next day. And I can only do that by not thinking about the event. So I'm relaxed. I'm having my cappuccino, which I absolutely love, and telling my body and my brain, this is relaxation time. There is nothing to be worried about for that event in any way, shape, or form. Everything is set up the way that I want to. We can relax right now and just enjoy this time. And she was like, you've got to tell me your secret because I've never been able to do this ever.
I love so much of that because you're talking about intentional rest time. You are talking about setting up a structure. So you're like, okay, if I'm doing my project planning, I need to build in that time where I will have done this thing. So you're bumping up your deadline essentially, right? To have the things done so that you can sit and rest and ultimately knowing your mind won't completely go blank on you, it will also be reflection time. And this is where you're touching upon these concepts of deep work. This is where you're talking about in the quiet is when the answers come to us.
Yeah. And in my experience, sometimes nothing happened, so everything was set up great. And sometimes I get the most brilliant ideas that would absolutely enhance the experience of the people attending that event or yep. any project whatsoever. I mean, I use this rule for almost everything that I do. some of the most brilliant things that happened, I get in that period of, okay, let's not think about it. Everything is set up like I wanted to do now. Everything can happen as we planned it to happen. And everything we did not plan can happen also, but I'm prepared for it. I can do this. The most brilliant ideas, really the most brilliant ideas, in such a way that the next time, whenever the other people were with us, like, oh my God, how did you do this? Where did you get this person? Or, oh, this was one of the greatest management conferences we've ever had. All of them happened because of that strategy. So that's another one. Make mm-hmm. sure that you rest and use the three categories. So small rest, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, mm-hmm. then do a 30-minute slot during your day. So you're going to have multiple rest moments during the day, even if it's just to breathe deeply in through the nose and out of your mouth, which is about 2 minutes if you do it correctly. That's all it takes to reset your brain and go back. And the larger. So think about your sleep. Research shows that every adult, and I'm going to nuance it, almost every adult, because there's a very small percentage in the world that can take on average 5 hours of sleep at night. But there's a very small percentage.
I'm not in there. I'm not in that percentage.
I'm not also. If I don't get my 8 hours sleep, people, do not ask me anything complex, because you won't get an answer.
Yeah.
At least not one that makes any sense. So every adult needs on average 8 hours of sleep. And if you're thinking, oh, if I just get through this week, I will get my sleep in the weekend, I can tell you, research shows us that you won't. You can't catch up on sleep. You've just deprived yourself of the possibility of doing productive work, meaningful work, by sacrificing sleep. So if there's anything you take away from this conversation, one thing, sleep is sacred. Get your 8 hours of sleep no matter what. And I'm mindful of the fact that if you've just had a child, that might be one of the most difficult advice that I've just given you, because they get up every 2 hours. I get it. But for the rest of us, get your 8 hours of sleep. Do not sacrifice your sleep. You will just damage your productivity and performance in ways you can never, ever get back.
There you go. And you heard it here in such an important way, that you cannot get it back. And I think that's so critical, because we can talk about sleep. We can talk about taking naps, which I'm pro nap. And sometimes that's what we have to do. You know, work with what you got here. Yes, if you have a small child, or you just got a puppy, or, you know, there are things that are interrupting your sleep that can't be helped, do the best you can with it, but also acknowledge that, okay, we're going to intentionally build in maybe longer rest periods during the day. And then next step after that, right? Find the times when you're most productive, when you're, you know, most there, and do the complex work then, right?
Yeah, most definitely. And in that ties in with the sleep. Know your chronotype. That's the label that is the concept we're talking about. So, and the distinction that most people know is, are you a morning person or a night owl?
Right.
Well, there are actually four types. So it's really important to discover your chronotype. And there are free tests you can do on the internet if you don't know, or you want to know from a test perspective, instead of you thinking you're a morning person, while in actual fact, you might be a night owl, do that test to discover. Again, well, piggyback to the beginning of the room. That's why I love self-awareness. The more you know about yourself, the more you can create your own user manual and start working in that ideal way of working for you, because you can get the most out of that if you do more of that most of the time. So discover your chronotype. And if you Google chronotype, you'll probably end up with the chronotype quiz of Dr. Michael Bruce, who is a sleep expert. Great one. He's done a massive amount of research on sleep, and he's the one that has discovered the four types, and he's named them after animals.
I will locate that. I will find that link, put that in the show notes. I love that idea. Again, it comes back to, like you said, the self-awareness and knowing what it is that, you know, you need to show up the best way possible. And then having all of that then allows you to take the next step and create the boundaries with other people and so on and so forth. But I want to make sure we have enough time today to get into something that, when you talk about lighting me up, I was like, ah, she works with the science of happiness. to ensure that we work smarter, not harder. And my head's like exploding, you know, like with excitement. So please, let's talk a bit about the science of happiness in all of this context.
Yeah. And I have to be honest, if you had told me that happiness, there is science to happiness a couple of years ago, I would have laughed in your face.
Sure.
My background is I worked in IT, so the zeros and ones environment for almost 15 years. That's what I know. So it has to be factual, it has to be process oriented, and you have to be able to hold on to it. It has to be very tangible.
Right.
but I do also have a creative side to me. And that's how I discovered that there is a science to happiness. It's not woo-woo. It's not soft. It's very hard science, happiness. There's a vast amount of scientific research on happiness, on well-being, and subjective well-being. And purely from an economic perspective, happiness has been studied for more than 40 years.
Wow.
More than 40 years. That is longer than I have been on Earth. If you look at it from a philosophical perspective, we get into the hundreds of years. So there is so much scientific, so it's proven to work for most people, strategies that you can use that can make your life happier, more fulfillment, more focus on well-being without the sacrifice on all of the other aspects. So a couple of years ago, I discovered that there was a science to it. And I also discovered that my university, my alma mater, so to speak, has an executive program on the science of happiness and teaches you that science from different perspectives. So economics, psychology, philosophical, sociology, you name it, we've looked at that topic from all angles. And I've also done a certification program on the science of happiness at work because I'm fascinated about how can we incorporate this more in the context of work. Because most people that I've spoken to, when you bring up the topic of happiness and joy, they say, oh, yeah, well, I'll do that after work. I'll do that in the weekend, or happiness for me is the hobby or my family, or but they don't connect it to the work context. And I thought, but you spend 1/3 of your life, in some cases even more, working. We spend more time at work than we spend it outside of work. So if you want to become happier and feel fulfilled and joyful, we want to do that in that period of time also. So not just exclusively, but also. So I've studied it now for 4 years. Yeah, it's coming up to 5. All of the happiness strategies that are out there that can have so much benefit to how we work and when we work.
I love that. I mean, and you know what it makes me think of too. So how it all ties together, how it's all connected. Yes, Lisa, I've heard you say this before. It's all connected. And that now we're talking about happiness, we're talking about fulfillment. You're telling me science is backing this up, and that gets me really excited because I like to have the science behind it. I appreciate that there's the woo and anecdotally we can see things out there, but when you tell me the studies are linking it to that, we know this is real and this is, again, another tool we can apply to the most important thing. And I think the thing we probably bonded over the most, fun.
Oh, yes. Oh, God. So important. So, so important. And a little mini masterclass about the science of happiness in that respect.
Please.
So fun is connected to your emotions, and your emotions are like your GPS. They tell you whether you're on the right track or not. So one of the things I've heard much, oh, but you're the happiness guru, so you don't like negative emotions or you dismiss negative emotions. No, I don't. All emotions are part of us being human being, and we experience, each and every one of us, whether we want it or not, experience the full range of emotions.
Yes.
The difference for me, who has been conditioned and trained herself on things that I've learned from the science of happiness, but also every other experience that I've had in the past 2 decades that I've been consciously working with these topics, is that I don't stay in negative emotions very long. So I can be mad, I can be angry, I can be sad, I can be frustrated. I just acknowledge that I am, and I flip the switch very fast. Most people stay in those negative emotions for very long, which impacts their state, which they bring into their whole day, which impacts their performance and their productivity. That's basically what happens in a nutshell, not making it complex, but very simple.
I love that. And it is that simple, because remember, simple doesn't always mean easy. It does take a practice, but like in your case, you have built this muscle. You have done this practice. It's like in my gratitude group, we practice gratitude because it is like building a muscle and you get better and better and better at it. And so then it's not that you don't go into the negative. It's not that you don't suffer. It's not that you don't experience the full spectrum of life. And we need to, and we do as humans. It is that your resilience builds so that your recovery time is faster. You snap out of it faster. Again, be there where you need to be. Rant if you need to rant. Grieve when you need to grieve. Feel all the feels. But when you are able to use these beautiful tools to step out of it, then you get into that creative and troubleshooting mode where you can come up with solutions if, in fact, it's a situation that requires solutions or whatever it might be. I do not know who to attribute it to, but there's a saying like, if you're going through hell, don't stop and build a house. You know what I mean?
Well, I can give you an example. Maybe that will help those of you that are listening and thinking, how does this work? Mm-hmm. And the example I'm going to use is a very extreme example. So bear with me.
Okay.
Viktor Frankl written a book. Now, he's a Holocaust survivor. Mm-hmm. And what he did is write a book about his experience in that time. So he survived the Holocaust. He was in Auschwitz. And his book, A Man's Search for Meaning, I would highly recommend that book. It is a great read, and you will really learn how someone who's been in the most horrific circumstances, most of us can't even imagine as we are today, how horrific that must have been, really says something around, I'm not paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact wording, but he says, other people can take away everything from you. What they can't is your freedom, your inner freedom, your mind's freedom. Mm. And he said that the people that survived those horrific circumstances are the ones that tapped into meaning. So what mattered to them that they could visualize on a daily basis, even though they were in the most horrific circumstances that you could ever imagine, they could still tap into that, but this is what matters to me. I can connect in my mind's eye with that. Those are the people that survived. Those that were only thinking, I'm going to die, I'm not going to survive this, that's exactly what happened. So if you're thinking, if someone like that can survive those circumstances, with all due respect, what's our excuse? Anyone has the autonomy of their mind. They can take away everything, your clothes, your dignity, your physical freedom, but they can't take away your mind. And it's a very powerful supercomputer. If you know how to use it, you can survive anything, and you will go through horrific circumstances. You can have so many things happen to you, but psychologists now deem there is next to post-traumatic stress syndrome, you also have post-traumatic growth. People that have not only survived, but thrived from some of the most horrific circumstances they've ever been.
Well, you have just beautifully described, to the point of giving me goosebumps, mind you. You've described two key words that come up on the Positively Living podcast so many times with such good reason. You've described hope and choice.
Correct.
I love that. I think that is a beautiful place for us to wrap up, don't you?
Oh, I most definitely. I mean, I could keep talking, but we'll be here for another couple of hours.
I'll just have to have you back. It's as simple as that. This has been fun, but let's keep the fun going just a little longer with a rapid wrap up. Are you ready for me?
Let's go.
Okay. The song that always makes me dance is
Happy, Pharrell Williams.
Yes, I love that song. Okay, how about the quote or mantra I share all the time?
Maya Angelou, people will forget what you said, what you did, but never how you made them feel.
Beautiful. And you offer a lot of awesome quotes on your social media. You have to follow her. I love it. What was the latest one? Jack Canfield. It was like, if it ain't fun, don't do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just love that. I thought, okay, you're a man after my own heart.
Absolutely. Okay. And the resource book or app that makes my life easier.
Oh, God. You know, you have any idea how many of those I can name right now? There is not one.
A bajillion, right? Exactly. What's the first one that comes to your mind that you're just like, I do not ever want to delete this from my phone?
Well, a book. And because we've been talking about the power of the mind.
Yes.
I would say The Growth Mindset by Carol Dweck.
Excellent. I love that. I feel like, did she do a TED Talk or is there some? Yeah. Okay. I will also find there is one episode where we talked about this that I linked to the TED Talk. I'll find the link to that as well. But The Growth Mindset. Excellent. And last but definitely not least, let's share a little gratitude. What or whom are you grateful for today, Lubna?
Oh, there are so many things, again, that I have to make a decision. I'm grateful to be healthy and surrounded by family.
Beautiful. And I am grateful for you that we connected, that you came here today to share your gifts with us. And speaking of gifts, I know there are so many other things that you're doing and that you're sharing online. So will you please tell us where we can find you and connect with you?
Well, one of the ways you can connect with me, I have a community on Facebook called the Exponential Heroes Hub, a community for purpose-driven entrepreneurs. That's my inner circle where we can share more and go deep dive on the things that I've shared here with you today. Then you can follow my business page on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram, LinkedIn. Well, usually what I say is, what's your playground? Which one of these platforms is your playground? More than likely to be on one of them. And the latest is, of course, Clubhouse, where you can directly have conversations with me.
Yeah, that has been super fun. Okay, I will make sure to have links to find Lubna in the show notes. And I want to thank you so much for shining your light in this world and for sharing it with us.
Oh, Lisa, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Thank you for joining me today. Your time is precious and limited, and I'm honored you chose to spend it with me. If you have feedback, questions, or want to schedule a chat, head to positivelyproductive.com/connect. And if you are looking for any of the resources referenced on the podcast, from books to products to training and more, go to positivelyproductive.com/resources.